Back when I was young, underground comics were the X-rated entertainment of choice for smart kids, and we got them from head shops and hippie bookstores, not from the local public library. But today, ambitious comics are called graphic novels, and they are in libraries, like those by Phoebe Gleckner. Her autobiographical stories are about sexual abuse and deeply troubled families. Each one is told through the eyes of a girl called Minnie. One day last year, a boy checked out Gleckner's A Child's Life and Other Stories from a library in Stockton, California. He showed the book to his mother, and Gleckner told Anne Hepperman her version of what happened next.
This guy, Gary Podesto, he was the mayor of Stockton, California, and he was also running for Senate at that time. He said that he was going to clean up the library, he was going to clean up Stockton, and this book by Phoebe Gleckner is a handbook for pedophiles. So he got it out of the library. Good for him.
Maybe part of the problem was the cover. The title, A Child's Life, is spelled out in multicolored letters. And there's a beautifully rendered portrait of a pretty girl with bangs holding a doll. But when you open the book, you might see the same barely pubescent girl lying naked on a table. She's looking out of the frame at the reader, while a much older man has sex with her.
Anytime you talk about sex, you know, the galvanic skin response is triggered and people kind of get turned on a little bit just when you say sex, penis. And when you combine that with something that doesn't seem quite right, like a teenager having sex with her mother's boyfriend, it kind of goes haywire. They feel uncomfortable. They're a little bit turned on, but they're supposed to be turned off, or they think they should be.
Gleckner's work is still banned in Stockton. It's even been confiscated as pornography by British and French customs officials. The books are about Minnie, a troubled teen growing up in the 70s. Minnie looks a lot like Gleckner, and she has a lot of the same experiences. She uses drugs and skips school. Her home life is a nightmare. Gleckner has been drawing for her entire life, but she was never the type of girl who drew horses.
I remember in fourth grade, people always asked me to draw penises because they didn't know what they looked like. These were the other girls. And of course, I didn't know at that time either. And I used to draw a pickle with hair all over it, like all over it. Probably I, you know, planted this image of this hair-covered pickle in the heads of a lot of, you know, eight-year-old girls.
In the late 60s, Gleckner discovered her mother's stash of underground comics.
And I must have been like 10 or something, and my mother would hide them beneath her mattress. And I literally found out how sex was done by looking at a comic by R. Crumb. What was interesting is that you really see the anatomy. You see what goes where and how it fits together.
R. Crumb is the father of underground comics. Gleckner was only 10 when she fell in love with the way Crumb drew. She also loved comics by Crumb's wife, Aileen Kaminsky. She eventually met them both, and Crumb took a look at her sketchbook.
I remember being totally impressed right from the beginning. She was always really a good draftsman, good artist. I think she even said something about how she would like to come and live with us. But then after I met her, I didn't think that was such a good idea because I found myself very attracted to her sexually, so I didn't think that idea would have worked out being teachers and mentors.
Gleckner started publishing comics when she was a teenager.
It became a way to talk about experiences that I had that I couldn't tell anyone else about.
The illustrated book, Diary of a Teenage Girl, is based on Gleckner's own diaries from that time. But it wasn't until she was 41 years old that it was published.
Dear Diary, the reason I haven't gone to school on a regular basis lately is because of this watered-down, half-affair type of thing I've been having with this old, much older man who sleeps with my mother. Dear Diary, Monroe is here, and I feel afraid of him. I'm staying overnight at his house, and I don't think he really wants me to. I said, I'm not staying with my f***ing mother. No way. So she told Monroe he had to let me stay here. She said I'm his problem now.
Her stuff is, you know, vividly honest about her experiences as a teenager, which, you know, she had some rough times as a teenager. And as an honest story, you can't knock it.
Right after Diary of a Teenage Girl came out, Gleckner was invited to be the keynote speaker at a graduation ceremony in suburban New York. It was at an alternative high school for bad kids who had dropped out or been kicked out of other schools.
And I was like, man, this is great, because that's what happened to me. I'd been kicked out of four high schools. I understand these kids. I was one of these kids.
But a week before graduation, the principal called Gleckner and told her to stay at home. In fact, he'd fired the English teacher who showed Gleckner's work to his class.
The principal said it was just like showing kids Hustler. There was no difference. And I was, you know, absolutely hurt. It was like an arrow going through my heart, because I knew that those kids needed to hear from me.
Maybe those teenagers could learn a lot from Gleckner. She's in her 40s now and has two daughters of her own. But it's kind of hard to explain her comics to them.
I don't know. I don't let my own kids read it. I've let them read a few of my stories. It's weird because I feel like they probably don't think I do anything because I can't show them what I do.
The oldest is 14, just 1 year younger than her mother when she began drawing comics.
I told her she could read my books if she wanted to when she was 15. I thought that was probably okay.
But Gleckner can't decide herself whether other teens should be reading her work. The stories could be shocking and upsetting to some kids and really helpful to others.
So what do you do? Do you dole it out as prescription only? I mean, how do you know if a kid's going through something or not? I mean, how do you tap into that audience or make sure that those kids are the only ones who get to read it?
For Studio 360, I'm Ann Hepperman with co-producer Kara Oler.